Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most intellectually satisfying topics in the entire AQA A-level psychology specification, the interactionist approach to schizophrenia. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. It's just nature and nurture, right? Genes plus stress equals schizophrenia. And I want to stop you right there because that kind of oversimplification is exactly what costs students marks in the exam. The examiners are looking for something much more sophisticated. They want you to explain the mechanism of interaction, not just list two factors side by side. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to explain the diathesis stress model in real depth, contrast Meehl's original 1962 model with the modern polygenic understanding, evaluate the approach using Tiennari and colleagues' landmark Finnish study, and link everything to combination therapy as supporting evidence. You'll also know the most common mistakes that trip students up, and how to avoid every single one of them. So let's get into it. Section 1, what is the diathesis stress model? The interactionist approach to schizophrenia is built on the diathesis stress model. The word diathesis comes from Greek and means a predisposition or vulnerability. The model proposes that schizophrenia develops when two things come together. First, a pre-existing biological vulnerability, the diathesis, and second, an environmental trigger, the stress. Crucially, neither factor alone is sufficient. You need both. This is the interaction, and it's the heart of what makes this approach genuinely interactionist rather than simply biological or environmental. Think of it this way. Imagine a dam. The diathesis is a crack in the dam wall. It's there from the beginning, perhaps from birth, perhaps from early development. But the dam doesn't burst just because the crack exists. It bursts when the water level, the stress, rises high enough to push through that weakness. Someone with a high genetic vulnerability might develop schizophrenia under relatively mild stress. Someone with a low vulnerability might only develop it under extreme and prolonged stress, or perhaps not at all. This threshold concept is absolutely central to the model. Section 2. Meehl's original model from 1962. The diathesis stress model was formalized by Paul Meehl in 1962. Meehl proposed that schizophrenia was caused by a single dominant gene. He called it the schizogene. According to Meehl, anyone who carried this schizogene had a biological vulnerability he termed schizotaxia. This vulnerability, when combined with environmental stress, could develop into schizotypy, a personality organization, and in some cases, full schizophrenia. Now, Meehl's model was groundbreaking for its time. It was one of the first serious attempts to integrate biological and environmental factors into a single explanatory framework. But here's the problem. Modern genetics has not found a single schizogene, not one. The Human Genome Project and subsequent genome-wide association studies have consistently shown that schizophrenia is polygenic, meaning it involves the cumulative effect of hundreds, possibly thousands, of genetic variants, each contributing a tiny increase in risk. Section 3, the modern polygenic and epigenetic model. This is where Reed and colleagues come in. The modern understanding, associated with researchers like John Reed, moves well beyond Meehl's single-gene model. Today, we understand the diathesis as a polygenic risk, a combination of many genes, none of which is individually sufficient to cause schizophrenia. Researchers calculate something called a polygenic risk score, which aggregates the effect of many genetic variants to estimate overall vulnerability. But it goes even further than that. Epigenetic research has shown that environmental experiences can actually switch genes on or off, so the boundary between diathesis and stress becomes blurred. Adverse childhood experiences, for example, can alter gene expression in ways that increase vulnerability. This means the diathesis itself is not entirely fixed at birth. It can be shaped by early environmental exposure. And here's something absolutely critical for your exam answers. Stress does not mean only psychological stress. This is one of the most common mistakes candidates make. The modern model explicitly includes biological stressors. Cannabis use is a key example. There's robust evidence that cannabis use, particularly heavy use of high-potency strains in adolescence, significantly increases the risk of psychosis in genetically vulnerable individuals. The mechanism involves disruption of the endocannabinoid system and dopaminergic pathways. Another biological stressor is activation of the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which is the body's central stress response system. Chronic HPA axis activation leads to elevated cortisol, which has been shown to have neurotoxic effects on dopamine systems implicated in schizophrenia. When you reference the HPA axis or cannabis in your exam answer, you immediately signal to the examiner that you understand the modern, sophisticated version of the model and that earns you marks. Section 4. Tienarian colleagues. 2004, the Finnish adoption study. The single most important piece of evidence you need to know for this topic is the Finnish adoption study by Tienarian colleagues published in 2004. This was a longitudinal study following adopted children in Finland. The researchers identified two groups of adoptees, those whose biological mothers had been diagnosed with schizophrenia, giving them a genetic diathesis, and a control group whose biological mothers had no psychiatric diagnosis. The key finding was this. Adopted children with a genetic risk for schizophrenia were significantly more likely to develop schizophrenia or a schizophrenia spectrum disorder, but only when they were raised in a disturbed family environment. When genetically at-risk children were raised in healthy, supportive adoptive families, their rates of schizophrenia were no higher than the control group. Meanwhile, children with no genetic risk showed very low rates of schizophrenia regardless of family environment. This is a beautiful piece of evidence for the interactionist model because it demonstrates that neither factor alone is sufficient. Genetic vulnerability without environmental stress did not reliably produce schizophrenia. Environmental stress without genetic vulnerability also did not reliably produce schizophrenia. You needed both. The interaction is the thing. For evaluation, you should note that this study has high ecological validity because it follows real adoptees in real family environments rather than artificial laboratory conditions. However, you should also note that the sample was specifically Finnish, which may limit cross-cultural generalization. Additionally, the definition of disturbed family environment involved some subjectivity in assessment. Section 5, combination therapy as supporting evidence. One of the most elegant aspects of the interactionist approach is that it generates a clear treatment implication. If schizophrenia arises from the interaction of biological vulnerability and environmental stress, then effective treatment should address both. This means combining biological therapies, typically antipsychotic medication, with psychological therapies such as cognitive behavioral therapy for psychosis, known as CBTP, or family therapy. Terrier and colleagues conducted research in 2004 examining the effectiveness of combination therapy. Their findings suggested that patients receiving both antipsychotic medication and CBTP showed better outcomes than those receiving medication alone. Now, here is a critical point for your exam, and this is something many candidates get wrong. You should not describe combination therapy as the theory itself. Combination therapy is evidence that supports the theory. The logic is indirect. If schizophrenia were purely biological, we would expect biological treatment alone to be sufficient. The fact that adding psychological therapy improves outcomes suggests that psychological factors, the stress component, are playing a genuine causal role. This is sometimes called the treatment causation fallacy if misapplied. So be careful. You're using the effectiveness of combination therapy as indirect support for the interactionist explanation, not as proof of causation. Now let's talk exam strategy. Tip 1. Always explain the mechanism, not just the factors. Don't just say genes and environment interact. Explain how the diathesis lowers the threshold, the stress triggers the expression of vulnerability, and together they push the individual over the threshold into disorder. Use the word threshold explicitly. Tip 2. Distinguish Mihail from the modern model. In a 16-mark essay, you will earn AO1 marks for accurately describing the theoretical model. Examiners will credit you for noting that Mihail proposed a single schizogene in 1962. And that modern research, particularly genome-wide association studies, has replaced this with a polygenic understanding. This contrast shows depth of knowledge. Tip 3. Define stress broadly. When you define the stress component, explicitly mention biological stressors. Cannabis use and HPA axis activation are your two best examples. This immediately differentiates your answer from a weaker response that only mentions psychological stress like trauma or life events. Tip 4. Use Tienari correctly. The Finnish adoption study is your primary evaluative evidence. When you use it, make sure you explain why it supports the interactionist model specifically. Not just that it shows genes matter, but that it shows genes only matter in combination with environmental factors. Tip 5. In 16-mark essays, your AO3 evaluation should be worth 40% of the marks. That means roughly 6 to 7 marks are available for evaluation. Don't just list strengths and weaknesses, develop each point. A developed evaluation point has a claim, evidence, an explanation of what that evidence shows, and a link back to the question. Common mistake 1, conflating the interactionist approach with the biosocial approach. These are related but distinct. Make sure you define the specific mechanism, the diathesis stress threshold model, rather than just saying biology and society interact. Common mistake too, describing combination therapy as the theory. Combination therapy is the treatment implication and indirect supporting evidence. It is not the explanation itself. Common mistake 3. Assuming stress means only psychological stress. Always broaden your definition to include biological stressors. Okay, now cover your notes and test yourself. I'll ask the questions, you think of the answers, and I'll give you the answers right after. Question 1. What term did Meehl use for the single gene he proposed caused vulnerability to schizophrenia? The answer is the schizogene. Question 2. What does polygenic mean in the context of the modern model? The answer is that schizophrenia risk is influenced by many genes, each contributing a small effect rather than one single gene. Question 3. Name the researchers behind the Finnish adoption study and the year it was published. The answer is Tienari and colleagues, 2004. Question 4. What is the HPA axis and why is it relevant to the stress component? The answer is the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis is the body's central stress response system. Chronic activation raises cortisol levels, which can have neurotoxic effects on dopamine pathways linked to schizophrenia. Question 5. What is the treatment causation fallacy and how should you avoid it when discussing combination therapy? The answer is the fallacy is assuming that because a treatment works, it proves the cause. You should present combination therapy as indirect supporting evidence for the interactionist model, not as direct proof of causation. Let's bring it all together. The interactionist approach proposes that schizophrenia develops through the interaction of a biological diathesis, a genetic vulnerability, and environmental stress, which acts as a trigger. Meehl's original 1962 model proposed a single schizogene, but modern research supports a polygenic understanding with epigenetic influences. Stress includes both psychological and biological triggers, including cannabis use and HPA axis activation. The Finnish adoption study by Tienari and colleagues in 2004 provides strong evidence that both factors are necessary. Neither alone is sufficient. Combination therapy, as studied by Terrier and colleagues, provides indirect support by showing that addressing both the biological and psychological dimensions produces better outcomes. In your exam, always explain the mechanism of interaction, distinguish Meehl from the modern model, define stress broadly, and use Tienari as your primary evaluative evidence. You've got this. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.